Furlong relate. Now, in about the autumn of 1918, you were moved up the front to a new base at Oberserskaya. What was the reason for that move?
Well, as time went on, it became increasingly obvious that we were too far away from the seat of operations, so we were always keeping our eye open for a possible landing field, which, as you can imagine, in that country were very few and far between. It consisted 99% of forest and swamp. But at this place we eventually moved to, Oberserskaya, we saw a road. Before we got there, we saw a road which looked as though it could be widened and made into an airstrip, and that's eventually what we did.
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand what necessitated the move.
The necessity was the distance that we had to fly with only 3.5 hours petrol, actually 3 hours operational petrol, and an hour going, an hour coming back. If you wanted any spare, you couldn't spend much time doing your operation, you see. You had half an hour to three quarters of an hour to do whatever you had to do, by which time you had to beetle off back again.
I see, I see. So the whole of the air unit was then moved down the line
for, yes.
So that it would be closer to the ground forces.
Yes.
Yeah, you were telling me about the base that was set up at Oberserskaya.
Well, we saw this road, and when we eventually got there, in other words, when the infantry had overrun it and it was in our hands, we went down to inspect it when they were trained to inspect it. And we set up a body of, or somebody collected a body of local girls, young women, who presumably were farm hands and the like and used to handling farm tools. They were recruited and they set to work levelling off the sides, which were fairly rough. So the road still ran down the middle, but there was a fairly decent area either side, and they widened it out into quite a decent sort of landing field. And as soon as it was ready, we flew in.
What was the actual surface? Would it have been mud?
Well, the road was reasonably hard baked, or perhaps it had a bit of shingle or something on it. The centre, the actual road, was fairly hard. The side was just grass. It might have just been baked mud, but anyway, it didn't fortunately bog down while we were on it.
Yeah. Now, I assume that the general character of the flying operations you carried out from Oberserskaya were much the same as they had been in the preceding station.
Yes.
Except that there was one obvious difference, namely that the winter was approaching and the actual weather conditions were beginning to change significantly. By the time you were actually into the Russian winter, how did this factor affect the operations which you were able to carry out?
Well, as far as I can recall, it didn't affect the operations much until after the armistice. That was early November. It was cold, but no colder than winter in England, which we were able to cope with. I don't recall any reasonable amount of snow, but after the armistice, when we were still on the job, still fighting, then it became increasingly difficult as it got colder and the snow set in, and it was hard to start the engines, it was hard to service the engines, the men couldn't keep their fingers warm and the oil cans wouldn't open and all that sort of thing, and it slowed the whole process down. It didn't stop it, but it slowed it down considerably. It meant running the engines pretty frequently to try and keep the oil reasonably warm, and muffling them up with shrouds in which there were heaters and all that sort of caper. So it all took time, which slowed the whole process down, quite apart from the fact that we were flying open cockpits. And that meant that we didn't look out hardly because it was so cold outside.
Did you have any special clothing for winter flying?
Oh, we had plenty of ordinary RAF winter flying suits and all that sort of thing, but it was our heads that was the trouble. We were warm enough in the body, but our heads, of course, were out in the breeze unless we kept right strictly in the middle. And you get a slight bit of breeze when it's below freezing, by golly, it's cold.
Mm. Now, the intensity of operations became smaller with the setting in of adverse weather conditions. But apart from the fact that they declined in quantity, were you doing much the same thing?
Yes, virtually the same thing. But, of course, you realise everything slowed down. The ground forces slowed down because they were in trouble too. The whole thing slowly ground, not perhaps to a halt, but very nearly to a halt, simply because the difficulty of getting supplies, the difficulty of running anything, slowed the whole thing down. And by which time the real winter came on, January, we'd gone.
Mm. Do you remember during this period at Oberseeskaya any particular flying operations?
Well, now, I can't very easily. There were still the same things when we used to fly either side. Oberseeskaya was on the junction between the road to the river on the left and the road to the river on the right. So it was a fairly important place. It was a horse track. And apart from that...
When at the beginning of November the armistice was signed, did that have any effect upon activities in North Russia?
Yes, very considerably, because although our people had apparently received the official notification that the armistice was underway, it wasn't made known to the troops because they didn't want to upset them, making them think the war was over and that they could now slack off and do nothing because we had to go on fighting. But unfortunately, from some Russian source, Moscow, we believe, word came through that an armistice had been signed. Whereupon the Frenchman, who happened to be in the front line at the time, all said, "That's fine, now we go home." They downed tools and marched back, and they wouldn't go back into the line. This, of course, put us in a quandary because our airfield then wasn't far behind the line. And we were fearful that the Russians would take the opportunity of whipping through the forest and burning the lot or doing something. So it meant that we had to stay up all night, keeping the engines warm and ready to take off in the night, hoping that we should be able to fly back to Arkhangelsk and land with or without landing lights on the ground. But fortunately, it didn't come off.
Did you actually observe this French withdrawal?
Oh, yes. We saw they were walking about. They just came back and said, "Well, the war's over. We had no intention of doing any more." You know, they were shouting and saying, "Hooray, it's all finished. Now we go home." The fact that there were still Russians in front of us didn't seem to worry them.
And did they literally, physically drop their arms and start walking?
Well,
home?
I think they had... Some of them had their rifles for their own protection, but... They obviously weren't going to do any more fighting. That was out.